Salutations, my fellow exiled strangers. Welcome back to another episode. Today we're going to be getting into some pretty interesting topics. There's a lot of the topic we're getting into today is something that a lot of people have touched on in the past, but they haven't done it from strictly a biblical perspective, at least the ones that I've experienced. So how you doing, nobody?
All right, man. I'm doing pretty good, I guess. You know, it's like, I agree. Like, this topic has been touched here or there. Like, you know, some better than others, but there's so much happening in the world right now so quickly that we have to be just watching and then going to scripture to see if we can discern the events happening in front of us, you know?
100%. Just since the last time we recorded, we now own Venezuela.
Yeah, imagine that.
Which is wild.
Dang, I thought that they were trying to go electric. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That is just wild. I remember waking up on Shabbat and being like, oh, all right.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yep. They kidnapped a dude, Maduro, right? That's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, they kidnapped him and his wife. His wife might not even known what was going on. She could have been just over there chilling, getting her hair and nails did, all that type of stuff. And then now she's in D.C.
I don't know. So from what I'm hearing, and this, I have really tried to tune out from most of it because it's just so much, you know, craziness out there right now. Yeah. But apparently she was a lawyer for Cesar Chavez and then was like the attorney general in Venezuela for a while. So,
okay. Now, Cesar Chavez, are you talking about the civil rights activist?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How old are they?
Dude, I don't know.
Dang.
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure. But, I mean, hey.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Remember, if you want to come in and do an anonymous testimony on Exiled Strangers, shoot us an email at, exiledstrangers@proton.me, exiledstrangers@proton.me. Or if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that, leave them down below in the comment section. Or if you're listening on the audio platform, shoot us an email. Or if you have like legitimate questions and you're like, hey, I'm kind of new to this, things aren't making any sense, shoot us an email. And we'll help wherever we can, or kind of try to direct you to some information wherever we can, things like that. But you ready to get into the topic?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Hit us up because we're fun. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I know we goof around a lot, but man, life is tough and you kind of have to laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but everything we do is like the best we can, straight out of scripture. Not taking away from or adding to. I also want to add that this podcast is brought to you by us because we don't have any sponsors and nor will we take your money because we shouldn't be profiting off the word. So.
Yep. And I remember first getting into this walk, being warned multiple times of people who do this for a profit. And then, you know, later on, it's revealed like, oh, they were 100% right. Be weary of anybody who's doing, specifically talking about scripture for a profit.
Yeah.
Because it just does seem odd to be profiting off of something, A, you didn't come up with or write, or, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Now, granted, there's people that put it to good use. You know, there are some out there that are very firm in their integrity. You know, they put the money where it ought to go. Yeah. But unless we ask specifically for a specific cause and give you specific receipts, don't send us money.
Yep. Yeah. The only thing we might do for like a profit in the future is like knives shofars and stuff like that. Or
t-shirts.
We might ask t-shirt. Oh, yeah. For sure. Some t-shirts.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, snap. And then we might. We still haven't, you know, forgotten about doing the whole disaster relief thing as well. So that'll be, you know, donation only. And obviously we'll be very upfront with where the money is going and receipts and all that type of stuff. But we will not be pocketing any of that money. We're still going to be broke. Unless something else happens.
Yeah. I think that's a safeguarding, man. Yah has kept us away from great riches because they corrupt, man. And yeah. I'm grateful that I'm dependent on him all the time.
For sure. For sure. So you want to break the ice on what the topic is today? I guess they've already read the title and maybe even seen the thumbnail and stuff like that. You think so?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope they have. But yeah, so today we're talking about the last lawless king, or the son of perdition. Many places known as the Antichrist. However, we are told in scripture that there are many Antichrists. I do believe it to be a bit of a misnomer for this last king. And it's causing a lot of believers to look for, you know, some guy that's like, I forget the name, but the Antichrist character in like the Left Behind movies, who can do like wizardry and like, you know, all that stuff, or a little pointy tail devil on the corner, you know, tattooing 666 on people's foreheads. It's like, no, you guys, it's a deception on the whole world. Like, we have to be like so incredibly careful with investigating, because the adversary doesn't want us to know who are his. He doesn't want us to know his plans and what he's doing. So,
yeah, for sure. And every other presentation, as far as like who the last king is, or in their words, who the Antichrist was, has always been like, here's all their information and here's a couple of Bible verses to back up what they're saying. Yeah. It's never been based in scripture, fully based in scripture, I should say.
Yeah. So. And here's one more note that I want everybody to take this to heart before we start, is this is a constant, this is going to be constant discerning from now until the kingdom comes, right? Like, like, I reserve the right to be wrong. But up until this point, everything is pointing in this certain direction, and I haven't been able, we haven't been able to prove this wrong as of yet, right?
Well, hold on. Don't include me on that, because you're the one that's done all of the study on this.
Oh,
you're
the
one
send all the hate mail to me, man. Yeah, everybody's gonna be hating on me. I'm be like, who's that purple stonewalled guy?
Like, I'll share the hate, but you take the credit, because I mean, all of this research was done by you. I remember you presenting this to me while we were doing disaster relief out in Hurricane Helene. And it was like, man, this is the most, I remember when you were presenting it, I was thinking like, this is the most like scripture based presentation as far as like who the Antichrist is. And then also, there's a lot of points pointing to this dude as being the last king.
so many that it makes my head spin.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And another point, I suppose, is like, there is no political affiliations in our minds. Like, we are citizens of Yah Sharel, and just doing the right thing according to Yah's instructions is all that matters. There's no left or right. We don't buy the bread and go watch that circus. You know what I mean?
Nope. Because that's fake and gay.
It certainly is, sir.
Left, right is just two different cheeks of the same booty.
Yeah, that's the same stinky booty.
Yeah.
So right out of the gate, you know, this person whom we are taking a look at is the U.S. president, Littlehorn, Trump. You couldn't be more on the nose about that. No. You know, what is a Littlehorn? It is a Trump. You know, when Paul says, at the last Trump, how interesting. You know, yeah. I don't, it's almost as if he's like saying, you guys, I'm like drawing this out in pencil or crayon, you know, just like, it's right there.
Yeah. And just to put an emphasis on it, I know we just said it, but we have no political affiliation. Like, yeah, we don't. Like, it doesn't apply either way. We don't vote. Well, I don't even vote, y'all. I don't even vote. I don't give permission to either side. So it's not like we're like, you know, far leaning leftists or far leaning like far right guys or anything like that. We don't participate.
Yeah. I think we have the understanding that Yas sets up kings and he tears down kings, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. Why be distracted by the things we can't control, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. So since, you know, probably over half the people viewing are now super fired up and want to know why we're talking about their daddy, Trump. hopefully that's not the case with most of you, but we'll see. And we're going to lay it out. Just hear us out and then search it out for yourself. And if you have anything that disproves what we're saying, please tell us, because I don't want this to be true. You know right. what I mean? Like, I'm not looking to make something that's not there. I want to be corrected if I'm incorrect. Like, that's just the way it goes.
For sure. We're seeking truth, not trying to be right.
Yeah. So on this man, right? Nowhere in scripture does it say that, you know, the anti-Messiah, the last king that goes into perdition, nowhere in scripture does it say that he's going to have wizard fingers, you know, and be able to do all kinds of crazy tricks. And you know what I mean? Like, and someone's going to shoot a bullet at him and he's going to matrix dodge it. Like, nowhere does it say that. However, many movies and TV shows and stuff have depicted stuff just like that. This is a man. This is a man who's given power by the dragon, right? The dragon gives him his power. If we look, like, you know, the dragon, Hasatan, what did he tempted our Messiah, Yahushua, with things of the world, power of the world, you know, nations, riches, you know, it's, again, it's not wizard fingers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've benefited in having not seen the Left Behind series or anything like that. Like, I grew up knowing about it, but I never read any of the books, or I guess they had a movie or
series. Yeah, multiple movies. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen any of those, but I do remember them being like super popular and everything.
Yeah. So it's so interesting to how the script got flipped, because Left Behind, right? Those are the blessed ones who were left, or not the blessed ones, sorry. Those were the ones that were in heaviness, the ones left behind.
Mm.
Everybody else got raptured and they're just up in heaven, which you don't go up there, right? The kingdom of right. heaven comes to earth. But in the book of 4 Ezra, actually, it says that those that are taken are in heaviness, while those that are left behind are blessed, and they'll be directly commanded by Yahushua. It's the complete adverse of what's been sold in mainstream media.
Man.
But all right, so the Trumpster, you know, it's interesting. I've never in my life watched someone exert such power, right? Like, it is the oddest thing to see how many people bow the knee so quickly and how many people are so emotionally invested in supporting him. Right there, the emotional investment is where reason leaves the mind, you know?
Right. And like, you haven't seen that even with the last election with Biden, or the one before that, or the one before that even. Like, emotionally invested in both aspects, either against him or for him. Like, this is, I remember hearing somewhere, somebody saying, like, this is the first time there's been an election to, like, their vote wasn't for the person, it was against the person, the other person running. This dude has evoked more emotional response than any other election, I'm assuming, or at least for the ones that I've been around for.
Yeah.
And then, like, the people that love him don't even care what he does. It's like he's the it's like they recognize that he's a bully, but it's like, yeah, he's our bully though. Like, he's doing right. evil for us.
Right. Someone, I need to be careful. Someone I know literally said to me, hey, Trump's issuing or like ushering in the beast system, but he was the president of light that we needed for this time. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, what does that even mean? You know, like, come on, you can get off the bandwagon. Like, yeah. Nobody's stopped. Nobody's chained you into it except yourself.
Yeah.
But,
and then also, shoot. Like, name any aspect of your life that's gotten better, since Trump took his second term. like any aspect. Inflation hasn't gone down. We have maybe like, I mean, conflict is still on the edge of happening. Yeah, silver is like what, almost $80? That's insane. Which doesn't mean the value of silver has gone up. It means your dollar has gone down. The value of your dollar has gone down.
Yeah, I just read today that like copper suppliers are like out.
I don't doubt it.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, I mean, all these things add up. One thing might not seem like, you know, a very big deal, but all of them together, it is pretty impactful. But you look at it like, man, all these aspects, the characteristics even, let's talk about his characteristics a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Most prideful, boastful person I've ever witnessed. You know, yeah. It's, and I've known some real heavy hitters in the boastful section, and, man, you know, he puts them to shame, and it's these things that he drops. I believe he's saying the truth in plain sight, right? Like looking up to the sky, he's saying, I am the chosen one, right? Mm-hmm. Like what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's, you know, he was talking on an interview and I tried to find it. I can't find it at all. I searched all day. He's in an interview and he was talking about his two terms, right? And we know that they were divided by Biden's term. And he's like, yeah, like, I was president. He's like, and then I wasn't, but I still was, you know, because, you know, the whole election fraud thing. And yeah. Then he's like, and now I am again. And if we go like Revelation 17:11, like the king who was and is not, is of himself the eighth and is of the seven, goes to perdition. It's just these weird similarities. He didn't say it exactly, of course, but it's just like, when he said that, my jaw dropped. I'm like, is he really, like, are we being trolled in the biggest long con that's ever happened?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Do you want me to pull that up, that Revelation 17:11?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Let me do that. I wonder if he knows. I wonder if he knows that.
I,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. See, this is one of those things, you know, and there's a point, right? There's a point in time, I think, that there may be an inkling. It's so hard to say because even Pharaoh himself didn't know that his heart was being hardened. You know what I mean? Like when Moshe and Aharon were there, and it's really tough to say.
Man.
Yeah, right here, 11 says, but the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and goes to destruction. It's kind of interesting looking at all this too, because, you know, it's like after 2019, like everything got flipped upside down.
Yeah. You know?
I don't know. I don't want to get bogged down because we are going to touch on that here in a little bit, but,
gotcha. Let's, you want to get into the next point?
Yeah.
So point one being he like almost quoted Revelation 7:11 of the king who was, is not, is himself the eighth and it of the seven.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking? Kind of timeline it a bit. My notes are a little off.
Okay.
We'll jump right now to 2019, if that's cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Operation Warp Speed, right? Like this global conquering that happened is unlike anything that has ever happened before because there was coordination, right, between all nations.
Yeah.
So when people say this is supposed to happen all over the world, well, yeah, and it did. You know, it did. And he had effect all over the world. You know, you look at Operation Warp Speed pushed through these certain pharmakia that then got distributed everywhere. You know, and some nations did different. I get it. you know, and hey, good, because I've, from what I've heard, those aren't as bad as some of the others. But he claims to be the father of that pharmakia, right? And he's excited about it. Like, it's a bragging point for him. What's interesting is with that, we have a couple notes. I guess I will pull, I'm just going to read it off instead of share it, if that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in Enoch 69, verse 18, listen to this. This, it's going over what some of the fallen watchers taught mankind. I'll start at actually 17. It says, the name of the fifth is Kazyade. He discovered to the children of men every wicked stroke of the Ruakoth, and or the, like, your soul's spirit, and of devils. The stroke to the embryo in the womb to diminish it, so abortion. And the stroke to the Ruach by the bite of the serpent. And then it goes on to say the midday stroke of the offspring of the serpent, the name of which is Tabiat. But the one I want to focus on is the stroke to the Ruach by the bite of the serpent.
And for those of you guys that don't know, Ruach is spirit.
Yeah, yeah. When going through that, like, it, you know, we're told that we are the dwelling place of Elohim, right? Right. Even if a third temple is built, if a 52nd temple is built, we, unless we're told different by the Father and by His Son, like, we're the dwelling place of the Ruach HaKodesh, you know?
Yep.
So what's interesting is you have the stroke to the Ruach by the bite of the serpent. And we're warned about this abomination of desolation, right? That this lawless one's going to, you know, I was told he's going to march up into the third temple and he's going to sacrifice a pig or something. And he's going to sit down and be like, hey, everybody, I'm God.
Yep.
Bro. Bro, like, how odd. Everybody would be like, oh, no, I'm not following that guy. I read about him. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
Shoot. But instead, what we have is we have admiration for this person beyond that of any other man. People literally saying that he is godlike, or that he is God, or that he is the king, you know, all these things, that he's the savior.
Yeah. And they definitely claim that he's chosen by God.
For sure. For yeah. sure. But then because you have these money hungry evangelists, like, that are propping him up and saying all this. And it's just like, man, like, they serve mammon. They serve money.
Yeah.
You know, they don't serve Yahuwah and Yahusha. But so the stroke to the Ruach by the bite of the serpent, if you're going to cause a stroke to something, you will render it, incapacitated. You know what I mean? To some degree, to some form. I don't know what this looks like in, like, the spiritual realm, right? I don't have a full understanding on that. However, it is to diminish it, right? That tells me if the dwelling place is us and there's a stroke to the spirit, the Ruach, well, guess what? That was the abomination of desolation.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it tells me, like, straight up. And I haven't seen any other thing that leads me away from that, especially when you see that in this pharmakia that there is venom. How
tons.
I mean, tons, like, of it's venom. Crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a plethora of venom. Yeah. And it, man, I'm trying to think of how we can kind of get into detail without getting this video kicked off. Because if this video gets kicked off, then it's no longer available to anybody on YouTube, but we're still trying to speak as much truth as possible.
If it gets kicked off, remember that we're on all the other streaming platforms like Spotify and iTunes and all that. So,
right. Right. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people injected, snake venom type proteins, or just straight up snake venom proteins, into their body. And what's interesting is that, like, here's even more confirmation that this is snake venom, is that it binds to the nicotine receptors. During that whole big C period, you notice, like Fauci was saying, oh yeah, smokers are at a greater risk. People who use nicotine are at greater risk. That was false. That was the absolute opposite. It was like people who were in taking in nicotine at those times had better protection from these snake venom proteins than everybody else, because the strongest bond you can make with those nicotine receptors is with nicotine. It'll knock everything else off in exchange, in preference over a nicotine connection on those specific receptors. And there's a lot of things that have nicotine in them. I mean, obviously tobacco,
nightshades,
broccoli has nicotine in it. There's a lot of things that have nicotine, but tobacco has, like, I think it's something along the lines of, and I could be wrong on this, but it's been a while since I studied it, but I think tobacco has like 40 times the amount of nicotine compared to whatever comes in second. So like,
yeah,
you could either eat a couple pounds of broccoli, or you could take a nicotine pouch.
Yeah.
Or a patch, or whatever you want to do.
I wish we could say his name, but if you search hard enough, there are some wonderful people that are bringing forth the actual science on that.
Yeah. The documentary to check out is The Other N Word.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
You can't say the first one. You know, you could definitely say the second one in public and you'd be fine.
I don't say it unless you do.
Oh, I write it down. But hey, the interesting thing, though, you mentioned Fauci. His name in Italian means sickle. That's pretty ominous.
Yeah,
especially, I don't know, you know, some people have drawn some connections to Zachariah. I'm just saying. But we're not going to go there today, I suppose. But yeah, so check it out. Like, on continuing on that, right? The bite of the serpent, the stroke to the rock by the bite of the serpent. And then we see this in Revelation 6. Let me, or actually, do you want to pull that up, bro?
Yep, I gotcha. As soon as my computer decides to cooperate, there we go. Revelation 6.
Yeah, just starting at, it's basically verse 1 and 2 is that I want to get to.
Okay.
All right, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, like a sound of thunder, come and see. Okay. And I looked and saw a white horse, and he who sat on it holding a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out overcoming and to overcome." Okay, so what's interesting, if you don't mind clicking on the
bow.
Yes, please.
Gotcha.
You already know, man.
Gotcha.
All right, so bow, right? This is the only place that bow is used in scripture as Greek word toxin. Right. Even in the Greek Septuagint for the Torah and prophets, this is the only place it's used as toxin. And what's interesting is it says, apparently, as the simplest fabric, which was a real head scratcher until the documentary Died Suddenly came out.
Yeah.
If you go to that documentary, it's showing the aftermath of, you know, what we were just talking about, the pharmakia.
Yeah.
and they're pulling out these long fibrous like materials from arteries and veins and all other things. And you can go see it for yourself. They follow a coroner and they're doing autopsies and stuff, and you can see it for yourself. They can't even embalm some of these people because they're so packed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the idea of a crown is just, you know, you can go many different ways. Corona, you can be on the nose about it, I suppose, but I'd rather look at it like a reign, an authority, you know, yeah, because he went out to conquer.
Pull that back up. There we go.
All right. Stefano, the chaplet. Oh, hold on. Let me pull this up because on my screen it's bigger. I was having a hard time reading on the other one.
Oh, gotcha.
It says a chaplet as a badge of royalty, a prize in the public games, or a symbol of honor generally, but more
conspicuous.
That's not how you spell that. Get out of town. Bro. More conspicuous and elaborate than the simple fillet, literally or figuratively a crown. The mark of a royal or an exalted rank, a wreath or a garland, which is given as a prize to victors. Like, you get the idea, right? If you're going out to conquer, you are the victor, you know. So that being said, what happened to the world during that time? They were all forced to kneel. Everybody had to bow down to these stupid rules that it's literally like the social distancing was the same thing as for people with freaking leprosy. Like, yeah. It's crazy just how much just got swept under the rug and people just said, yep, I'll do it. I'll do it.
A quick note on the social distancing, if you don't mind. The social distancing being 6 foot, that wasn't like an arbitrary number. Turns out recent discoveries show that your largest organ is actually your biosphere. So it's you plus everything within your immediate, I guess, area, right? And that area is within 6 feet of you. Oh, so shit. Things that are within 6 feet of you, whether it be another living person, another Wi-Fi signals, whatever it may be, interact with your body. Now, bro. 6 feet, outside of 6 feet, is the distance where you can no longer make like human connections. It's like, how often do you talk to somebody 6 feet away? Like, can you really, you know, get the gist on how they're feeling, what they're up to, what they're doing, or anything like that if they're not within 6 feet?
That's a good point.
So it was really that 6 foot distance was really to make sure you made no other human connections during that period of time.
That's so sad.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of like electrical signals that are in exchange. There's a lot of like hormone signals that are exchanged. Like, we know that like 85% of communication is nonverbal, like right. It's without speaking. So yeah. How much of that especially if your face is covered, how much of that communication goes away, and how much of that connection goes away by keeping 6 feet away and covering your face?
There you go, divide and conquer.
Yeah,
you know, dang, that's wild. Okay, side note. Next time someone farts on a road trip in a car, I'm going to be like, yo, this is directly interacting with my body. You need to get out now.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Be like, I can't believe you hate me that much.
You pooped on my biosphere.
Yeah. Come on now. That smell comes from somewhere. You got to knock that off.
Which, interesting enough, you could still smell farts with the mask on.
Yeah. It's as if it doesn't really do what they say it does. Man, I was such a habitual line stepper when it came to standing in lines at stores during that time. I would get into trouble all the time.
I just stayed out of public for the most part. I mean,
yeah.
The most I went to was like, oh, side note, if we ever, you know, come across any of this again, a good way to get out of like wearing a mask with legitimate, like without having any kind of like a backlash afterwards, like the discussion karate. Just ends, is karate. Well, if you're really bad at karate, you might carry a weapon, and it is illegal. This is a law. It is illegal for you to wear a mask and carry a weapon at the same time. So especially where I lived at the time. As soon as you said that, there were no more questions. It was like, oh, all right. Yeah. And then you just keep on your merry little way. But like, a mandate does not supersede a law. So,
yeah. And if it does happen again, which they have been forecasting something greater than the one we went through before, I'm wearing all the guns. I'm going to buy a sword. Yeah. Because that still should be the same principle.
It's still a weapon.
Yeah, and that'd be way cooler.
Oh yeah, a great sword. I want to leave scratches on the floor as I'm walking. It's just dragging.
It's so big. It's just rounded off at the tip.
I'm carrying three swords. I got two hands, but I'm carrying three swords.
Yeah, you do.
Yep.
Oh, man. That's my buddy, everyone.
Yeah.
Always prepared. He's got a sword for me and you.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's jump over to Daniel chapter 2 real quick.
Let's do it.
And we'll start at verse 42. And look, when we study, you know, between the two of us or with our fellowship, we don't cherry pick verses. We gather context over either at least that chapter, a series of chapters, over different books. You have to, right? I just want to point this out. Here a little, there a little, precept on precept, line upon line, right?
Yeah.
Even Paul says the prophecy is done in part. So therefore, you need all the prophets to get the full vision, right?
Yep.
But for the sake of this, we're just going to point out a couple points, and it's your responsibility to search this out. We ain't your daddies.
Yeah.
But verse 42, it says, "And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the rain is partly strong and partly brittle. And as you saw iron mixed with muddy clay, they are mixing themselves with the seed of men, but they are not clinging to each other, even as iron does not mix with clay." When you read 43, who's themselves? Because we're the seed of men.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this raises a whole other question that that I think is potentially answered. And I've heard a few people, you know, I didn't come up with this, you know, myself. I'm not, you know, I didn't discover this, so I just, whatever. But, you know, so there was an explanation given to part of this that connecting the dots made sense. And if we go back to Nimrod, right, he began to become a giant. It was through a different form. It wasn't like the first incursion where the angels came down and directly did what they did with human women, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is something different. We're never it's never prophesied that angels will do this again and come down and mingle with women, as well as the angels saw the punishment of the fallen watchers who did this, and they freaking trembled. You know what I mean? So I don't see it anywhere, and that leads me to be like, okay, there's a different means by which this is happening. And if you look at the nations around about and the Canaanites, all that with giants, like, they're so engulfed in sorcery and divination and all this stuff, right? Jubilees chapter 8 says that, like, it says Canaan, you know, I think he's like maybe three generations from Noah, something like that. He found the writings of the watchers carved, right? And then he sinned owing to him. And then not long later, you see Nimrod pop up. This is my guess on this, is that what he found instructed him to a degree or a combination of things to understand how to manipulate genetics.
Right.
You know? So whatever Nimrod did, he was in manipulating genetics, and he began to become one. He wasn't born one. You know what I mean? In the same way, fast forward to now, you have Watson and Crick. They discovered the double helix, right? You have two strands with 72,000 genomes, bringing you to 144,000 genomes. Interesting number, for sure. I don't think that's the fullness of that number, right? That just, you know, each person's genomes in a DNA strand. However, I think it does represent something. But at the very least, look, it's the way we were created, and we ought to remain that way. If you go forth, can I say this on here?
Yep.
Send okay. It. The mRNA, right? Messenger RNA, right? Messenger. I'm going to say it one more time. Messenger. It's synonymous with angel, right? This is perhaps the practice, right? And in order to get this to work, you have to match an even number of genomes in a third strand to your already two strands. So you have three strands of 72,000 genomes, bringing you to 216,000 genomes. Interesting number, right? You're like, what the heck? You mind bringing up Revelation 13 real quick?
Gotcha.
Thanks, my brother. Oh, man.
There are so many things we can't say on this podcast.
We have fun. Yeah. We do have fun.
Yep. Revelation 13, you said?
Yes, sir.
All righty.
Which verse? All the way down.
All the way down.
Should be like 18, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
So it says this, right? And this is after. This is talking about the mark of the beast, right? And I don't think it's just this one. We know we're marked by the name, the number of the name, and basically those who like worship and follow after, but the image, you know. It says, here's wisdom, he who has understanding. Okay, so this is a call to action. For he who has wisdom and understanding. This isn't just like, hey, so everybody knows. They didn't say that. They said, this is for someone who's going to search this out.
Mm-hmm.
Let him calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So from what I've seen, the most common usage of that word for calculate is for like multiplication. If you multiply 600 to 60 into 6, you get 216,000. It's a very interesting number that showed up once again, you know?
Yeah.
And if you look, like, they represented the triple helix at, like, the Queen's Jubilee and, you know, all over the place. Everybody was saying it around that time. Go back and watch some of these celebrations and watch them do it. Like at the Queen's Jubilee, they lit up the tree with the triple helix, and it's just been kind of put right in your face, just mocking the people. So what am I saying? Am I saying that that's the mark of the beast? And if you didn't go through that protocol, then you're fine. Partially, but also partially not, right? Like there are other parts, right? You could be, if we look at being numbered under the name, look at the book of Numbers. People were numbered under the tribe, and they were also, you know, who they belonged to, right? So it's like, we know that, you know, you're marked by doing Pesach, by Yah, and your hand and your forehead. You're marked by keeping the Sabbath, by keeping the commands. Those who sigh and cry, there's a tav set up on your head. Like, I do believe you could be just numbered under the adversary based on your actions, your heart, your mind, all that, like who you serve. However, we see what Yah did during the flood. Like there was creation that was outside of what he created. And I do believe that like scripture doesn't say necessarily directly, but it does appear that he allowed repentance and yet nobody would. And perhaps it wasn't to the Nephilim, you know, I can't say for certain. It doesn't say that. But I will say this right now is like, if any of you out there listening have taken it, from my perspective, from everything I see, I would say, don't fear, right? Fear Yah, of course, but pray and repent. The window of repentance is open, and everybody was beguiled into taking this. I have very close loved ones, like close family that I love so much that have taken this, and I tell them the same thing. You know, I refuse to say that anybody is condemned until that window of repentance closes and the master tells me who he condemns or not. Okay. Right. So I want to make that super clear before, you know, I don't know, before some name calling starts happening, but.
And there's also some like medical remedies you can go about as well. If you are dealing with some side effects, what's up?
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's just send it. If it gets taken off YouTube, it gets taken off. You know.
I was gonna give them places to check out. Okay. Not how to do it.
It's important enough. Yeah.
Check out Dr. Ely, Dr. E A L Y. Check out Dr. Tenpenny. Spelled exactly how it sounds. Tenpenny, all one word. And if you find those two, it's going to start a chain reaction. And then you'll find a bunch of other like healers that can help you out with those side effects and everything.
And this is like primarily natural, you guys. This isn't like, you know, it's not stacking pharmakia on pharmakia.
No. And most of it is like either detoxing or just changes in your daily practices. A lot of it costs you nothing, really.
Yeah. And we're also not saying to just rely on that and not on Yah. Like, of course, you have to repent. I'm begging you all to repent. Anybody who's taking it, I love you. Please repent.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's, if you go back and look at the Torah, like there were for willful sins as well as, you know, practices for unintentional sins, right? Sins of ignorance. And ignorance doesn't mean you're stupid either, but it just means you were unaware of what was happening in that moment.
Yeah. Especially, imagine, you woke up after that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's like you just come to this realization here recently. Or you have like buyer's remorse, or you were forced into it, or you were given it unknowingly. How many service members were probably given that before this? He was like as the test subjects.
For sure. You know what I mean? I've repented for all of that from my time in the military, you know?
Yeah.
Like we were brought through the, like cattle, you know, through the assembly line. I still think they put a tracker in my butt cheek with that penicillin shot.
Yeah.
There ain't no way that was liquid. That hurts so bad.
Dang.
Yeah. Everybody called it the peanut butter shot.
Well, we'll like get a taser and knock that thing out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I see how you're going about this. You just want to have fun and tase me, but that I'm down. That's fine. We'll get through it.
Yep. You can tase me back. I don't have a tracker in me, but you can tase me back.
No, that's cool. I don't mind. I've been tased so many times.
I'll share the hate. I'll share the pain. No worries. We got this.
It's really not that bad. I would get tased a million times over if I never, ever, ever get pepper sprayed again. Okay. That's the worst.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. So look, everybody, chipper up. Okay. This is some heavy stuff, but guess what? We got to get through it. That's the only way to the finish line.
Yep.
You got to endure. You got to push through and keep driving forward.
And take solace in knowing that it's supposed to happen.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. All right. So I guess we can go back on the list here.
Okay. Sounds good. So,
yeah,
you want to get into his indictment?
Yeah.
Okay. So Trump got indicted right around Passover, and then he was betrayed by his lawyer. The population was divided on the matter, and then he was victorious in the resolution. Not innocent, but was a counterfeit of that victory, mocking and mimicking the walk of Yahusha. Do you remember his lawyer's name? It is slipping my mind right now.
I don't, but I remember it happened right at Pesach. And I was like, wait a second, what the heck? Like, as I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, so he's getting betrayed. He's getting, you know, dragged in front of public opinion and all these things. And I'm like, this is so reminiscent of what our Messiah went through. It's just things like this just really caused me to step back and be like, what the heck? You know?
Yeah, for sure. Cohen.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah. He's the one that betrayed him.
But this is what's so strange is like, you know, we've been brought into a society that's literally led by misinformation. And they're just misdirecting us, sending us all over. And they have us around their finger. You know, they know how to get us to focus on a certain matter. So then they're doing other stuff. And I can't help but think that, like, you know, biblically speaking, all of that leads to these times we're in and going to continue in. Like, for what other purpose? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I see this, I'm like, oh, they must be trolling us.
You know? Yeah. Like, I mean, at some point you got to ask yourself, are they just trying to see what they can get away with? Like, and see how many people don't notice.
Yeah. Like, I look in the mirror and I'm like, do you for real believe this? You know, I'm like, I'm having talks with myself. I'm like, hey, are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, I guess that's enough said on that one. I don't know, unless you got something else on it. But,
well, it's a mimicry and a mockery. The point of this is that it's a mimicry and a mockery of what Yahushua or Messiah did and what he went through and everything like that with the betrayal.
Well, you know, yeah, 100, you know what? You look at it. So what's mainstream Christians, and I love you guys. I'm not trying to hate on you individually, right? Do I disagree with the doctrines? Yep. But I love you. But everybody knows about the Messiah being betrayed, being, you know, dragged in and judged and all these things. There's already an emotional reaction tied to that. We have it like programmed into us. And you do something like that. They never came out and said, hey, I'm doing this to be like the Messiah. No, he never said that. But we see the actions and we're going to assign the emotions that we have, the true emotions, towards what happened to our Messiah, and then assign them to this person. Because subconsciously, we're seeing the same thing that we already have an emotional charge to. It's actually like really freaking smart if you look at it like that.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I hate to give him credit, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
You got this or you want me to?
Why don't you just give him the first sentence?
Trump got shot in the dome piece.
Yep. That happened.
Or next to it.
Yeah.
Did it happen?
Well, okay. So, everybody knows what we're talking about, the Butler, Pennsylvania thing. And there are so many questions around this event. And it's like, because nothing seemed right. There's people on video telling officers and everything like, hey, yo, there's a dude on the roof with a rifle. And the cops are like, what, where? You know, like, hold on, I'm about to go on break. I'm going to come back and check that out in a minute. Thank you, citizen. You know, it's like, wait, in what world? Like, you go to any third world country and you can say they have the most eaten up police force, blah, blah, blah. But they're going to react to that. You know what I mean? They're going to be like, oh, shoot, I might get shot. Let me go with that, you know?
I could tell Jim Bob down the road, hey, there's a dude on the roof over there with a rifle. You know how many rifles are going to pop up out of the scene?
Yeah, we've been waiting for this.
You are 100% accurate. There are people on this street who've been waiting for this moment their entire lives.
This is my moment, honey. Oh, gosh. But yeah, so nothing made sense, right? And like, if you apply just critical thinking to any part of it, you're like, what the heck? I mean, the assailant, the bad guy from that day just accidentally got cremated before they can do any of the tests. They're like, none of the other evidence added up. And I noticed something rewatching the film, right? I'm like, huh. I saw what they said was a bullet pass through one of the steel handrails. And I was like, that's really weird because that looked like gas escaping. Mm. I was like, that didn't look like what a bullet looks like hitting a metal object, you know?
Oh, dude, you didn't hear that Yeti is actually the one that built those handrails and there's a bunch of compressed gases within those handrails?
Yeah, okay. Oh, good to know. And make sure your hands are nice and cold when you're going using them.
Yep.
But it reminded me, like, when in the Army, like, we have those simulators for automatic gunfire, for whatever gunfire, for IEDs, for everything. And I'm like, oh goodness, like I think they use, at least partially, they use simulators.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm not disputing the fact that, you know, I would believe that somebody, I don't know if it was one, I think it was one person passed away is what was reported from that. And yeah, I believe that.
Fireman.
Yeah, I'm not taking away from somebody passing away. I can't prove that he didn't, and nor do I even want to. But that checks out for these kind of rituals.
Also, it makes it so where you can't question the event, because it's another appeal to emotion of like, oh, yep, this, everybody accepts firemen as heroes. I mean, and they, I would say, yeah, they,
yeah,
they,
that's 100%
great, are. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, whenever you bring into question this event and were there any simulations or anything like that, you bring into question, like, did this American hero actually pass away? It's this veil of appeal to emotion. So where you can't question the event because this American hero died during the event. So you can't bring into question of like, oh, were there any simulations or anything like that? Because how else did this guy die? And
right,
ignoring the fact that there's all kinds of possibilities as to how this guy potentially died.
100%. Yeah. And yeah, sure, man. Like, I got no problem saying they're heroes. You know, they put out fires. They do some really dangerous stuff. They make calendars that are very risky, you know? And it's like, these dudes are heroes. Yeah. I love all the real ones. Like, yeah, you see all the montage of, like, it's like, yeah, I've been on the job for 30 years. This is my beer belly. Like, those are the best. But anyways, all right. So the shots ring out, right? And he grabs his ear and he goes down behind the podium. Everybody, right? Everybody's like, oh gosh, he's passed away.
Yep.
You know, that was everybody's inclination. You get Secret Service come up there, and then they get him up. Oh, miraculously, he's alive.
He's alive.
Oh, goodness. He pulls his hand down from his right ear. Okay. So I don't remember directly what I saw. I don't know if we could see his hand directly, see if there's blood on it or not, but his ear was bloody. Therefore, if his hand was just touching it, I would suspect his hand was bloody. So you have blood on the right ear, the right hand. And then this fool says, hold on, to his Secret Service. He says, hold on. Let me get my shoes on. why would your shoes be off? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. What? Like, okay. The only argument you could kind of make is like, this fool was over here grounding while he was giving his speech.
I don't buy it.
With the amount of McDonald's he eats and Diet Cokes he's chugging, I find it hard to believe.
So this is what I suspect, right? In Exodus 29:20.
I got you.
I don't even know if we need to pull it up, but it's, I guess we can, yeah. Yeah.
I already had
it. Sorry, my bad, dude.
No, you're good.
So this is the ordination for the priest, right? Aaron and his sons. But it goes on to say, you shall slay the ram, right? And take some of the blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aharon and on the tip of the right ear of his sons and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Again, I don't think he's being ordained as a priest of Yahuwah, right? Because none of that matches anything. This is not what I'm saying. I think this is another mockery of Yahuwah's commands, you know, and keep in mind we'll get into it with our next point tying in actually right now. MAGA, right? Like, this is something bigger, I believe, than what everybody realizes. The high priest for the Satanic Church, you know, from best that I can research, is Magus, right? Which is pretty interesting. We look at the sorcerers that came, some time after Yahusha's birth, and they were magi, magicians, sorcerers. These were not people in covenant.
No.
There's other writings that describe them being learned in, like, the ways or the instructions of Nimrod or something like that. But anyway, so MAGA, right? It's is it possible that what we witnessed was not only potentially like a ritual happening right in front of everybody, like right in front of their eyes, and nobody needs to know and be in agreement with it. It's the fact that they're agreeing with something they don't even understand.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no integrity with the adversary.
All you need to do is like give permission, and that permission can be very, very inconspicuous.
Like, yeah.
Participation could just be literally just watching. Participation could be a vote. It could be something that you think is part of your duty can be hidden as participation. Yeah, just participating in an event, being around, giving it attention. Those are all forms of participation and permission.
Yep, 100%. Be careful high-fiving strangers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But to even look at that a little more, like these red hats, like it was a practice for those who worship Mithra or Mithras, right? To wear the red hats. It's depicted on him, right? This is like a false Elohim. It's also depicted on the Magi or the magicians that were mentioned around the Messiah's advent, that they wore these red hats. Very interesting. I'm not saying they're a good thing by saying that. You know what I mean? Like this is, yeah. I think, like you just said, like a lot of people coming into agreement without realizing.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, right, being shot in the dome piece, and he made it. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, he is protected. He's blessed. This is wonderful. He's chosen. He's the chosen one of God is what I heard all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
He's the savior, right? Well, in Revelation 13, verse 3, I'll just read it real quick. It says,
I got you.
Hey, yo, my bad, dude.
We can't we can't let the people think we're just making this stuff up.
Okay. All right.
13?
Yep. Verse 3. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. All right. It says, and I saw one of his heads as having been slain to death. Remember when he got shot and went down, everybody's like, oh no.
Yep.
Like they got him. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the earth marveled after the beast. Right. And this is just one of the kings of the beast. Like it's a continuous process, right? Over time, just like Daniel was shown. He's shown the different eras and these leaders. It's interesting is like later Trump was on like Joe Rogan's podcast and he's talking about it. And Joe Rogan's like, it's only a couple of weeks after. And he's like, can I see it? And he's like, there's like nothing to see. I heal super fast and all this stuff. And then he's like, I got shot here. I believe they say that it's the lobe.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, interesting. Cause that's like what scripture says. Mm-hmm. Nice. You had to define that for us.
And then also his body language gets super weird during that one scene. It's like his neck goes stiff and he doesn't want to help Joe Rogan see it at all. It's like he goes stiff and he points to the ear. And then, but he doesn't like lean his ear towards him to show him or anything like that. It's like he goes stiff. Like, I don't want you examining it too closely.
Right. Yeah. And again, you know, body language being so important, we should cue into that with such an important topic. You know, I mean, shoot, these are all things that, and not one of these proves it, right? But all of them together, it's like, gosh, are we just being trolled forever here?
Yep.
But if you look, it says, and all the earth marveled after him. That's literally what we saw. There's people in other countries celebrating in the streets. Like, this is like everybody was wondering after him. And after what had happened, everybody was amazed. It's a miracle, right?
The countries that hated him on his first term. And right. I was in some of those countries. I was there witnessing him, like the hate for him during his first term are now putting up parades and floats for him during his second term.
100%.
His second official term. It's crazy.
It is, dude. It's again, it's like unprecedented. All of these things, unprecedented. All right, I guess we go to, you know, you asked a question earlier, like, does he know?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. I don't. But I would say that what we're going to talk about next is potentially a time when either then or soon after it's possible. And I'd say like the raising of Osiris ceremony.
Yep.
You want to describe that, brother?
The raising of Osiris ceremony goes on during every election. And you'll notice, like, let's say, go to your closest major city, and if you see an obelisk, you'll always find two other things. You'll find a dome building, and then with the obelisk and the dome making a straight line, shoot off at a 90-degree angle, and you'll either find a Scottish Rite's temple or a Masonic lodge. And what goes on is that it just like, yeah, that obelisk right there, which is wild that America has so much Egyptian architecture involved. Absolutely crazy. Or Roman architecture. This is just, you know, odd.
Yeah, we're just sending it.
But during the inauguration, you'll notice that, I guess you won't notice, but during the inauguration, there is a ceremony going on at the Scottish Rite's temple with whoever's being inaugurated sitting typically in front of the belly of the dome, which is considered the belly. The roots of this ceremony being, I get the names mixed up, but it's like,
it's all right.
Hera, she was married to, what was it? Ra or something like that.
All I knew is that like the obelisk is like the 13th part of Osiris, I think.
Right. So
yeah, and then the dome is like the womb of Isis.
Yeah. So depending on where you go, the names change basically. And that's kind fair. Of yeah. What makes it, you know, annoying. But so yeah, Osiris gets chopped up by Set in 13 different pieces. Isis or Hera or whoever wherever you're located the name's gonna be different. Is looking all over for these pieces, and the only piece you can't find is the phallic symbol, the obelisk. And she sits on it, and then she goes and lays down, and then the dome of the Capitol represents the pregnant belly of Isis. And then the raising of Osiris symbol that goes on at the right angle of that is supposed to reincarnate Osiris, and whoever's within or in front of the steps of the dome is supposed to be imbued with the powers of Osiris.
So it's basically like, it's like a ritual to like encourage possession.
Right. 100%.
The craziest part though, is that with this last one, it was moved into the belly, right? Yep. It was moved into the Capitol.
Now, which I think has happened once before.
Yeah. I don't know. I forget with who, but I mean, look how much time has passed. I guess it didn't take, you know what I mean? Yeah. however, this time, like, it's incredible the power being exerted. It's unprecedented. So
what that is representing is like, okay, he's in the womb. He's being imbued with the power of Osiris. And then he exits and he's being birthed. Osiris right. is being reincarnated within that ceremony. But it's a fun little study. I did it in a few different cities. Look for an obelisk and you'll find the same pattern over and over again. You'll find an obelisk and then straight line, you'll find a dome building, and then right hand turn, right angle, you'll find a, it'll form a square. Like not a square the shape, but it'll form a right angle. 90 yeah. degree angle. You'll find the Scottish Rite, Scottish Rite Temple or the Masonic Lodge.
Yep. Yep. And keep in mind, Osiris is synonymous with Nimrod.
Yep.
Right. As well as Apollo. And if you look like the angel out of the bottomless pit, right? Apollyon. You know, I'm just saying there's so many things that we have to consider. And it's like, oh my goodness, like all of these roads lead right back to a center focal point of this, you know, empowerment, right, to this man that goes into perdition.
Yeah,
you know, it's just wild. I did want to bring up also, before we get too far, because I forgot to bring up some photos earlier. I just want to encourage everybody though to look up, you know, study, you know, Mithra and stuff, not like what it's all about to do it, right? But just take a look at what we were saying there with the red hat and the worship there. It's very interesting, actually, which portions of that are still present in the land where the nation state of Israel resides. But I want to show this one in regards to the protocol. And remember how we said, like, all this, right? The embodiment of Nimrod. And don't forget, in 2003, when we went into Iraq, like, they exhumed the tomb of Gilgamesh, yet another name for Nimrod. And this is in the Clinton emails. It says, for the express purpose of extracting DNA.
Yeah.
Which the Surgeon General of Florida later said, like, there's a foreign DNA in the protocol that we can't identify. But this is our commander in chief. Why would he tweet this?
Yeah.
My blood is the vaccine.
Yeah.
What?
Dude. Freaking weird, man.
It's like
freaking weird.
yeah. But I didn't make this up, you know. I wish I was. All right. So we'll combine these next two, okay? So Daniel chapter 11, 38 and 39. I'll get the photographs ready.
Gotcha. Daniel chapter 11, 38-39.
Yes, please. Good, sir.
Gotcha, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Man, just so everybody knows, so they don't think I'm just absolutely losing it, I have this filter on my computer screen where, like, as it gets into, like, light therapy and stuff like that, but instead of being, like, bombarded with a bunch of blue light or anything like that, it puts this red filter over my screen, so that way it's easier to transition into sleep and everything. You're not getting blue light outside of natural times of when the sun is emitting blue light, but yeah. It makes things difficult to see that are blue, like 38, that's in blue on the eSword. It's almost invisible.
Oh shoot.
With this red filter on. But here we go.
All right. So verse 38 says, but in his place he shall give esteem to the mighty one of strongholds or fortresses, and to a mighty one which his fathers did not know, he shall give esteem with gold and silver and precious stones and costly gifts. I think it is kind of debated who the lowercase g god of fortresses is. But I think Apollo or Apollyon is a good one to investigate, especially making the connections with Nimrod as well as Angel of the Bottomless Pit. And it goes on to say, and he shall act against the strongest strongholds with a foreign mighty one, which he shall acknowledge. He shall increase in esteem and cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. All right. So before we go back and talk about in his place, right, his place, likely the place he resides or the place he calls his, he will honor the god of fortresses. Before we go to that, this last part, it says, and divide the land for gain. Everybody see the plans for Gaza? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's taking the land, right? And he is going to divide it amongst these other nations to make a money-making metropolis right on the ocean.
Yeah.
really makes you question all the events that have taken place in the recent couple years.
For sure. Yeah.
So real quick, let me pop this up. This little photograph. This is inside the penthouse, Trump's penthouse. It's kind of hard to see, but if you look, like, oh my gosh, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
You know, for one. But up there is a depiction of Apollo and some other deities. I don't know all of them up in there. If I zoom in too much, it'll blur out. But you can look this up online. I just encourage everybody just to search, right? Google it, and or whatever search engine you use, and take a look. Oh, how interesting, right here. Oh goodness, there's Mithra. Oh, with the red hat. Weird. I never noticed that before. You heard it here first, everybody. Mithra's on his ceiling. Oh, crap. Hey, look at us go.
Dang.
Yep, there he is.
Man.
All right. So that being said, you know, look at all of this idolatry.
Yeah, on the ceiling.
Right. This is, and how extravagant, and the gold. This is just, it to me, when I see this and I read Daniel, I'm like, oh man, this, I don't know of any other thing anywhere that matches this for a single individual. Here's a statue. Let me pull this guy up. This is in his room.
The amount of opulence just in that one photo.
It's intense, man.
Yeah, that would be a place you'd be scared to just like you couldn't get comfortable in. If nothing else, you couldn't get comfortable in.
Yeah, but, stop making me feel poor.
Especially with this statue around.
Yeah. So this statue is like an angel stealing away a human woman. Weird when we take a look at Genesis 6.
Yeah.
Odd. Super weird. Just putting that out. And it's a big statue. Like, that's a chair you sit in.
Yeah. That's a chair you sit in. There's a toy car in the background. There's a pillar right next to it.
This ain't like a little thing you picked up at like a, you know, one of those odd shops that just got all the weird stuff in it. Mm-mm. This is like, hey, I need someone to make this for me.
But also to get it up into the penthouse.
Yeah.
Like, did you build this in place?
Right. I need someone to make this, and I need 10 disgruntled employees to carry it up. No, you can't use the elevator. You got to use the stairs.
Dang.
Oh, man. So.
That's creepy.
I guess the last thing here, if you want to.
Yeah. The Gaza Peace Council. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm just saying, which is like, I think still breaking news. Like, we're still getting details.
But right. Sorry. Yeah. So we're still waiting. I think the latest update I could find was like from December 7th or December 19th. And it was like the Times of Israel. But yeah, 6 countries so far have committed to joining Trump's Board of Peace. So basically divide the land up. They're calling them stakeholders from the Middle East and from Europe. Let's see. The countries so far that have signed up is Egypt, Qatar, UAE, the United Arab Emirates, the United Kingdom, Italy, and Germany have all joined the Board of Peace to oversee the post-war management of Gaza. The war ain't over, and they're already deciding like who's going to join in, like to divide up the spoils, basically to like turn this place into like a retreat. Now,
oh, wait, hold up, time out. You know what? I forgot to add this in and tell you what I saw. What? You know how we just talked the other day, how the nation state of Israel, and notice everybody how I'm saying the nation state, the secular nation state of Israel,
mm-hmm.
How they recognize Somaliland as an independent country.
Oh my goodness.
Guess what came out? What? Somaliland is now going to be accepting all Gazan refugees.
Oh,
so now
man.
they did it, so they have a place to move them to.
Oh man, I don't know who's losing in that, the Gazans or Somaliland.
that's one of those like lateral moves, you know?
Man,
yeah. Anyways,
what is Somaliland supposed to do with refugees? Like, we accept refugees from Somalia.
Like, well, see, but and that's the thing. Like, apparently now Somaliland is like its own. It to me, it sounds like an amusement park, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm sure there's cool people who live there, but
for sure,
I've never heard of it until this happened. I just knew of Somalia, and now it's like, oh, you recognize a little chunk off to the northwest of Somalia as Somaliland, you know?
They're like, we're good pirates.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started. Oh, by the way, correction. When I said the other day about the letters of marquee, you were 100% right. I don't know. I think it did have to, you did have pirates infighting later on. And I was focusing on that maybe, but it was to combat foreign nations' vessels. So,
gotcha.
I just wanted to say that I had a moment.
You're good, man. You're good. We weren't around for them at that time.
True. That's a true statement, but yeah.
Man, you want me to pull up Revelation 17 now?
Yeah. So, like, while you're doing that, like, this peace council, they're... I heard it somewhere else. It was very definitive. They're saying like the plan is for 10 leaders to be on this council, right?
For sure. That is what they're saying, is like they're kind of overshooting it a little bit. So they're not directly saying 10, but it seems like it's like we're looking for 10 to 12.
Right. Right. Yeah. They're like, hey, maybe we should buy ourselves some time. We've been pretty on the nose with everything else the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Revelation 17, 16, and 17. You want to read that, bro? Sorry, it's hard for me to...
Yeah, I got you. For Elohim did give it into their hearts to do his mind, to be of one mind, and to give their reign of the beast until the words of Elohim shall be accomplished. And the woman...
Oh, it's supposed to be 16 and 17.
Oh, crap. Yeah, my bad. It's the blue numbers, dude.
Oh, you want me to get it?
I got this. 16. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these shall hate the whore and lay her waste and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Then 17, for Elohim did give it into their hearts to do his mind, to be of one mind and to give their reign to the beast until the words of Elohim shall be accomplished. Now, real quick, just a quick plug. We're reading from the scriptures in that particular part, but also the app we're using is called eSword. It is fantastic. You guys should check it out.
Yeah. So maybe I had a... Dude, I'm sorry. I put in bad annotation for 16 and 17. Let's go up to 12.
You're good.
Everybody, I apologize. It's been a day.
It's all good.
So it says, in the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a reign, but receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. And they have one mind, and they shall give their power and authority to the beast. And they shall fight with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is master of masters and king of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and trustworthy. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples and crowds and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these shall hate the whore and lay her waste and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For Elohim did give it into their hearts to do his mind, to be of one mind, and to give their reign to the beast until the words of Elohim shall be accomplished. It says, and the woman whom you saw is that great city, having sovereignty over the sovereigns or kings of the earth. So it's interesting. This peace council is going to be 10 leaders, right? That are going to receive this greater authority. And then they're going to, you know, concede to this last king of the beast system, right? They're going to give their authority back to him. I think we're going to see some really weird stuff with this. I mean, it's only a year or two ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, that like members of the modern day Sanhedrin or whatever wrote a letter to Trump saying like, hey, yo, we want you to start a divine court, you know, that goes over all the nations of the earth. Like, this is for the world, a world court. Now, what do you guys think out there that they would be judging people on? The freaking Noahide laws, everybody, hey, all Americans, they've been on our books since the early 90s. George Bush Sr. Okay.
Yep.
Just saying. Guess what the penalty is for believing in the Messiah?
Death.
Lose your head.
Man.
It's just interesting. And I always thought the Noahide laws were kind of like the low hanging fruit, kind of the look at this while we do other stuff. But now I kind of see a precedent that they may actually be very, you know, very much so in effect. And yeah. I did want to point out the woman, the whore, right? That great city having sovereignty over the kings of the earth. 100%. It is that nation state.
Yeah. Right?
You look, those Noahide laws are on the books of nations all across the earth.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll leave that there. But these kings turn on her. These kings turn on the whore. You got to wonder if they get greedy, they want a little more than Gaza.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We want to spread these borders out a little bit.
Yeah. Hold on. Give me some room.
Yeah.
Give me some room over here for my elbows.
Yeah, let me breathe.
Oh man.
Man. So I guess I'm really curious, like, what do you guys think? What do you guys think?
If you guys are watching, please just leave a comment. Like, let us know. Give us a pulse. You know what I mean? On what's going on. Not just about this topic, but even just in general. Like, if you guys got some ideas on the even, you know, how we're doing the show, what you guys want to hear, anything, just write it.
Yeah. Or if you guys have any questions or anything like that, or, I mean, concerns, or you think you have found something just on a broader scale, if you think you found something in scripture that says, like, the commandments are done away with, then, yeah, just let us know. We'd be interesting to, I mean, we'd be willing to, like, rebuttal that, or, you know, just address it on the podcast.
For sure.
Yeah. And by no means are we trying to maintain like an echo chamber or anything like that. Like, we want to hear your guys's thoughts. Do you think we're completely wrong? Do you have a different theory on who the anti-Messiah might be? Cause I've heard a bunch of people talk about who the anti-Messiah might be. And none of them have been Trump before.
Yeah.
I think one of them was like one of the English royal family members. I mean, a bunch of different options.
Yeah, or it's like this other president because his wife has a male appendage, and it's like all these other ideas, and it's like, what, dude? Like, I need more than just that. You know what I mean?
Speaking of appendages, I saw a video of Big Mike not too long ago.
Big Mike?
So obvious. So obvious.
Oh, man.
He was dancing. And it was just amazing that the other dancers didn't notice.
Oh, they noticed. I guarantee it.
They didn't want to drown in 2 feet of water either.
Man. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. See, I told you guys we didn't pick sides.
Yeah. No sides safe.
No sides safe.
But back on real quick on the drumster, like when he's addressing the national like Christian community or whatever, that convention, and he's like, I love you, Christians. I love you, Christians. I'm not Christian, but I love you, Christians. Vote for me and you'll never have to vote again.
Yep.
Why would you say something like that after years prior saying my blood is the vaccine?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I just don't, it blows my mind.
It's like right in the, I mean, you got to ask yourself, like, they must be wondering, like, man, what can we get away with? And rightly so, because so many people are like just like willfully ignorant because they still have their bread in circuses. Like, you can't even get people, everybody here, you and me, everybody listening, everybody has to eat. That's something all of us have to do. And you can't even get people to think about growing any aspect of their own food for themselves. Any aspect. They'd much rather it be provided to them from their local, you know, chain. Even after going through COVID like we just did. Like the supply chain breakdown and everything. Granted, it never got so bad where people couldn't eat, but it should have been like an eye opener for people. Like, for something that I'm always going to have to do for the entire time that I'm alive, I should try to do something to facilitate part of that, or to supplement part of that, or find at least somebody local who's doing that, that doesn't require like hundreds of miles of, you know, transportation before it finally reaches my supermarket, or come from some other country like the beef does now. Yeah,
for real.
This is why I think this is part of the reason why they're so like open and blatant about it, is because they're like, even if they don't notice, or even if they do notice, they're going to get so ridiculed by their neighbors that like it's self-policing. We've hit a point of self-policing.
That's 100% accurate, man. Like, it's just a different way that, like, you know, the Egyptians, when Moshe and Aharon were going in there and all these things are happening and it's like stirring up Yasharel before they come out, what is Pharaoh's, they have them go, they take away the straw for the bricks they're making. So they have to go out and find their own straw in order to complete the bricks. They busy them. They give them tasks that consume their time. They distract, and it's the same thing just with different means.
The exact same thing is going on. Like, you work a job for, what is it, like 8 months to pay taxes for 8 months out of the year. The last 4 months finally make it into your pocket when they can print money on demand.
Yeah, that like, money don't mean nothing.
No, no. They can print it on demand, yet you're still working most of your life to pay taxes.
And they do. Wild. Oh, boy, do they. Like, yep. I think the last administration, they printed more money during those 4 years than had ever been printed ever.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Which goes back to
crazy.
Silver's value is not increasing. Your dollar is worth less. Anybody who wants to learn how to legally and appropriately avoid taxes.
No, whoa.
Yep. Wait, hey, right. After everything we done said, this
I
is
don't
what...
know where the line is anymore, man. I don't know where the line is.
Tax Freedom Law School. Part of the reason you keep paying taxes because you agree to pay taxes every year. So that's where you get in trouble. But definitely take the course, go through the course, and then, and then do it. Like, you won't get in trouble as long as you do it the very, very correct way. There's a very, very correct way, and every other way is going to get you into some trouble. So keep that in mind.
Man, look where we're at today. Isn't this crazy? You ever think we'd be like at a place where like, we need to tell the people this, we need to have a podcast and tell the people, you know?
I'm just trying to mind my own business and grow food. I want to be outside. I want to be thinning some, managing forests, moving some sheep around, feeding people, riding a bear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You got to be Russia tough to do that. But yeah,
I'm trying to ride it, not wrestle it.
I always think about that video of Putin, like, shirtless on top of a bear where he's like riding one.
Have you seen those videos of those Dagestanis? They're over there just like running on a rooftop and a bear's chasing them. They're all like laughing and giggling and stuff. Like, dude, they're laughing.
Did you see the moose guy? Yeah, you saw the moose guy. The guy. Yep.
Man, dude, I want to ride a buffalo. I want to saddle up a buffalo. Okay. I want to ride it around and never acknowledge it.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Like, I wonder if I had like a cart, but it's drawn by like, oh gosh, I don't know. Like 52 dachshunds. You know what I mean? like enough to get a little speed going, but I know that their legs can't take me too fast, so I'm not going to crash.
Or too far.
You know what I mean? you never know. Like, they're sharing the weight, and I'm going to feed them so good. But
it's not even the weight that's the issue. It's just the distance. They're so little.
Maybe I'll... All right, I got to up the number. That's it. It's just all proportion. So... Yeah, don't worry.
Trying to go from one side of your yard to the other side of your yard.
That'd be pretty tight. That'd be pretty tight.
I got a 52 dachshund sleigh to bring me to my means of transportation.
Bro, I was talking to my aunt and my cousin today, and they were sending me a picture of their emu.
Okay.
A whole daisy chain of emus.
Okay. Well, like, they're tied at the necks?
No, like, we'd have to make harnesses so don't hurt them. You got to have their necks free so they could be flopping around the whole time.
Man, there's something just freaky about emus and ostriches.
100%. Nobody's cutting me off.
No, I'm talking about freaky. Like I'm an option as far as, like, hunger goes.
Okay.
I feel like emus view me as like, You know, if things don't go right, it's an option.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Bro, one of my roosters is in that mode right now. Really? Still staring me down, sidestepping me off. Like, okay. I'm like, dude.
That proves my point. Look at a rooster. I can punt that thing across a field and it still attacks the back of my legs. Imagine an ostrich.
Right back. Yeah. That's a good point. Dang, man.
You know, it'd be the bumpiest ride as far as like hitching up to a sleigh.
What's up?
Kangaroos.
Oh, shoot.
You're going to be like jerking forward.
That's why you just play the right music, put your cap down low. It's like you got hydraulics, man. Animal powered hydraulics.
Dang. If I live somewhere cold, I'd do some yaks.
Okay. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, I'll put like a windshield up on my end, but a bunch of llamas. They can't spit on me.
Oh, okay. Okay. There you go. That seems just like a vulnerable animal.
Yeah, but it's fluffy. I don't know, dude.
It's got a long neck.
They're super ornery, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like they'd be good at getting out into thick traffic.
I remember one time being up in Colorado, up like New Mexico, Colorado border. And then we're crossing the border into Colorado. And it's like this long stretch of highway, straight. It's super straight, not in the mountains, but you can like see the mountains. And I was just driving along, doing my own thing. And then I just slammed on the brakes because off to the side of me, I saw some yaks.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa, I've never seen that in person. Because at first I was like, what's that shaggy cow doing? And then I like realized it's a yak. So I slammed on the brakes, pulled off to the side, and then like went up to the fence and was just looking at yaks. They're shorter than I thought they would be. But there are some fluffy creatures.
Yeah, there's a guy. Hair. There's a guy here who's got like hundreds of donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a couple yaks.
Yaks would be cool.
Yeah. I wonder what they taste like. They're clean, right? They split the hoof and chew the cud.
I think it's just a shaggy cow.
Yeah, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Man, I would like to do one of their pelts.
Man. Dude, you don't live where it's cold enough to have one of their belts. You're going to be sweating. You're going to be chafing in there.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, gives me options. Gives me options.
Yeah. But anything you'd like to leave the viewers with?
The only thing is this, is search all these things out for yourself, right? We're not saying this is the end all be all. These are the things that we've seen so far. And to be honest, like I think about it and I search this out and I'm at the point now where I'm trying to prove that it's not true. Because every time I go in to see if a matter happened and if it matches scripture, it does.
Yeah.
You know, it may not be the way we were told growing up. It may not be what we've seen in movies and it shouldn't be. Like, we're talking about the father of lies controlling this side of things. And of course, the deception is going to be much more difficult than what we were raised to believe. So search it out. And hey, if you see something that you feel like can help us in the search, let us know. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, we're the body of Messiah. We got to do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember, our email is exiledstrangers@proton.me. It's exiledstrangers@proton.me. And don't forget, if you do want to give your testimony on the podcast, then hit us up through that email as well. We do anonymous testimonies because it's not about us. It's not about the testimony holder. What's the correct word for that?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think, the
person.
Yeah, but what, there is a word for that.
Yeah.
What the heck is that word?
I don't know. The holder of the testimony.
The testator.
The testator. Yeah. It's not about the testator. It's about what Yah has done in your life and what he's delivered you from. So yep. Looking forward to doing more of those. Thank you guys so much for watching. And until next time, we'll see you.
Bye.